Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
This one hurts, not going to lie. This one hurts. The Browns falling 25-24 to the Indianapolis Colts. A game in which the defense scored not one but two touchdowns, generated four turnovers, and basically put together one of the great defensive performances of the season against the number one offense in the National Football League of the Indianapolis Colts, led by, of course, Andrew Luck. Now, they had one opportunity at the end of the game, but I thought this defense did enough to come out of there with a win. Offensively, it was more of the same. Not enough getting done. Missed field goals, interceptions in the end zone, no first downs in the third quarter. They did not convert a single third down in the entire second half. And a game that you felt watching, at least for me on the field, I felt watching it the entire time, that the Browns deserved to win this game, especially for their defense. They came up short, and now the season hangs in the balance. And I believe it is a – we could be – today could be the day that you have a change at quarterback. Our offense was outscored by the defense. Brian Hoyer under 50% completions again. Just one of those games that I'm sure you guys have been in games like this at points in your career – where it's tough, you got to wonder kind of what this does in the locker room, what this does to everybody. And Matt, I'll start with you. Just a brutal, brutal game. And the Browns showed that they're not good enough yet to give points away, to take points off the board, whether it be a missed field goal, an interception in the end zone, to not get any first downs, convert any third downs in the second half, and expect to win games against good teams.
You're absolutely right. And I think for me, as I've said all season long, when we were winning against bad football teams but still making mistakes and not ironing out a lot of problems, and again, missing field goals, turning the football over, penalties at inopportune times that kept some bad football teams or made it a game, when you play a good team, or in this case, a quality quarterback, you can't make mistakes. You've got to play, and the defense almost did play completely flawless, and it was their best effort to stop what we talked about all week, was the juggernaut of Andrew Luck and these Indianapolis Colts. And it wasn't even that the offense had to, again, we would have hoped they would have scored points, but they didn't. They had to play good. They did not have to play great in this football game for us to have won.
They had to play average, quite frankly.
Exactly, and they were below average, and they failed. And again, we'll get to grades and game balls eventually, today, tomorrow, the next day. But it's like they failed. They failed their counterparts in the defense, and they failed their coaches on their execution. And I think also, too, at certain points, players on that offense look disinterested and in some cases angry or upset that they were out on the football field.
Matt and I talked about this right before we started the show, that I've been on a team, the New York Giants, where we had dissension. And for the first time all season, after watching the post-game interviews, I detected a little bit of dissension going on. And that, to me, can be a scary thing, because mathematically we're still involved in this thing. But the flip side, when you start getting that dissension and people start pointing fingers, it's never good moving forward. So I think it has to be nipped in the bud. A change needs to be made, because right now there seems to be a lot of negative energy, not only on the field offensively, but now in the locker room, and that's not good.
It's not good, and it's interesting reading Collision Low Crossers, which was the book about Mike Pettine in that season with the Jets, and you could tell that happened to that Jets team. Even though they had a lot of success, the defense felt like it was carrying the team. The offense was letting the team down repeatedly. So to me, you look at this and you don't want that to happen, but you're running out of time. And right now the scenarios are the Browns need to win their final three games. They need to win all three of them and need to still get a lot of help to have an opportunity to make the playoffs. You got to make the moves to try to save the season at this point. Obviously, that's what must be done. I think a quarterback switch, you would think, is going to happen, because it's now multiple games in a row. No first downs in the third quarter, 2 weeks in a row. A turnover right out of the gate at the beginning of the second half in opponent's territory leads to a punt, not even an attempt to score points.
You're right. And Nathan, I think that switch at quarterback is Mike Pettine's best motivator for this football team to play and be excited to go play these last three football games, because They, of course, want to want to go out there and play for themselves and their contracts, but they are part of a team, and they do want to close and, you know, this season the way they started this season and exceeding expectations. But I think it's very hard to sell this teammate, this team, you know, after yesterday's football game, on going in with the same plan against the Cincinnati Bengals. We're going to go with the same guys, and they're being resold the same story, you know, on the people and the plan and what we have to do, and something has to change. They need a spark. That spark may be Johnny Manziel, but they need some type of spark to differentiate this game from last game for them to go out and play so passionately, especially for the defensive side of the football.
The, Bernie Kosar yesterday used on a pregame show used the word neutered to Brian Hoyer, and I agree with them because I think Brian lost his mojo. Brian just went into that game knowing that any little mistake, all eyes were on him.
But it turns out, though, that it wasn't the case. There wasn't a short leash, and that had to have been communicated to him. There was no leash.
There was no leash.
Do what you want.
But, I mean, the reality is, you know, we also talked about this, and this is what's coming to mind for me right now. The reason it's so hard for people to part with Brian Hoyer is because Brian's from Cleveland, Ohio. The reality is if Brian wasn't in Cleveland and he was playing like that on any other team in the NFL – there's a good chance he would have been yanked. So it's really hard because Matt just alluded to it. We need a spark, and the spark right now is in the obvious category to me, and that's the quarterback position.
And not only a spark, but optimism. I think Brian Hoyer has gone out repeatedly and has not changed anything, has not played any better, you know, game after game after game. So you need a change. If that was something that could have happened to start this season and it was actually a battle until Brian Hoyer went out and won it, at this point in the season when you really could be playing for nothing, you know, no chance at the playoffs,
right,
with everything going right in front of you, you could be playing for nothing. And at this point, it does turn into, and I hate to say it, an evaluation of what you really have. If you've defined the fact that Brian Hoyer is not going to be your quarterback of the future, why is he finishing out this football season when in some cases you could potentially be playing for nothing, when if you throw Johnny Manziel out there, you could be playing for so much more, your future, and get a great look at the capabilities of this young man before you go into another draft and another series of free agency next year?
You know, what's interesting too is the other thing too is they've got to see Johnny now, in my opinion, for one reason. They've got to find out if Johnny Manziel's going to cut it in the National Football League. We're not playing in the college level anymore. This is professional football. There's a harsh reality. We've always talked about that on the show. But, you know, you're going to be evaluated right now. And, Johnny, there's a lot of things that may be coming this week if Coach Pettine decides to make that decision. But Brian, for whatever reason, it's almost like he squandered his opportunities. And it's unfortunate because a lot of people here believed in him. A lot of people believed that he could get things done. And statistically, over the past few weeks, it's just been mind-boggling in the offensive game of football, and especially at the professional level, and it's no different than any other level, but you have got to score points. You have got to do things to move the ball.
Touchdowns.
You've got to score touchdowns, and you've got to hit big plays to change the momentum, because that momentum, hitting deep balls, being able to get the
and
ball
they were
not
there.
Only from the 20-yard line and getting it past midfield, that does so much in terms of motivation, changing the field position for your defense. It does so many things, and those things just have not been done.
And so many people want, you know, when we talk about, so many people want to take sides when it comes to Hoyer Manziel. And you know what? I'm not pro Johnny in any way, shape, and form. I've never really been pro Johnny because I've just said he's a big question mark. But you know what I am pro? I'm pro winning. And at this point, it's been proven that Brian Hoyer, at this point right now, today, not the 5 games ago or what he did in the first half of the season against the scum of the NFL, you know, the bottom dwellers of the NFL, it's what is he doing for me right now? And what did Brian Hoyer do in the last 2 weeks but take me out of a playoff race by his play or a lack thereof it? So I'm not pro-Johnny. I'm pro-winning. I'm pro-winning.
You're evaluating the quarterback in isolation.
Absolutely.
It's not about who else.
I'm pro-good quarterback play.
Right, and the reality is, again, if he was on any other team with the numbers he's produced over the past few weeks and, you know, and from the midway season all the way to where we are right now, he just wouldn't be somebody
he'd
else.
He'd be holding a clipboard be on the streets looking for a job after this football season.
He would have the warm jacket on right now. So, again, and that's not to be derogatory. It's just the harsh reality of the National Football League. You've got to move the ball. You've got to be a leader. You've got to score touchdowns. We haven't seen it.
And I want to ask you guys this because It sounded, from some of the things that Mike Penn said, he consulted some of the veterans on the team, and it sounded like maybe they wanted to stick with the veteran. Veterans stick with veterans. Nate Burleson said that on NFL Network yesterday. But do you think now, given some of the comments that you heard coming from the defensive side of the ball, et cetera, that you need to almost consult with those guys and make a change to risk with that? You don't want to have that division you talked about, that divisiveness in a locker room. What are the players doing today? Walk me through what's happening in the minds of the players today.
I've got a, you know, it's a, Joe Thomas. They asked Joe Thomas after the game, you know, his thought on a quarterback change here. And I commended Joe Thomas yesterday for one reason. Joe Thomas is an offensive lineman, and I think you'd be hard-pressed to find an offensive lineman in football that would throw his quarterback under the bus, because those guys are trained to protect the quarterback.
Yep.
Joe Thomas is like, listen, my job is to go out there and pass protect and run block, and I agree with that. But when you do start to see the defensive players getting a little bit frustrated, I don't even think it boils down right now to the players. I think Coach Pettine, to be honest with you right now, he's on not the hot seat in terms of being fired. I'm just talking about all eyes are on him right now, because you don't have to be a doctor of the obvious. It just needs to change right now in order for this team to move forward, especially on the offensive side
of the
football.
To speak about the locker room, something that we said Coach Pettine did very well coming in here, as you know, once being named the head football coach of the Cleveland Browns, was winning over that locker room and getting those guys bought in. And now what's at stake is, if you stick with something too long or this lasts too long, you can lose that locker room too. And that's the, and again, if in fact we are playing for nothing and just finishing a good season but not a playoff appearance for the Cleveland Browns, that those feelings carry into the entire offseason, where guys will then leave Cleveland to go to their homes if it's not here in Cleveland, and they'll not want to come back to Cleveland until they're asked to be in Cleveland or they're demanded to be here by their job for winter workouts and mini camps and so on and so forth. Otherwise, if you have a great rapport and you finish on a high note and you feel like you have a trust and there's that this is, you know, that nest, that safe house for you, where you feel like you're trusted and you have a great relationship with your teammates and your coaches, it's a place you want to be. But if you leave that bad taste in your mouth at the end of this football season, you don't want to come back here until you have to be here.
The one thing is, Coach Pettine, I think, does have the respect and the love of this locker room. I do think, though, that you've got to finish, as you said, get this taste out of your mouth. Were either one of you part of something like this where you had a good season, went a little bit off the rails, quarterback switch was made, how the locker room reacted, et cetera?
We were just talking. When I was in New York, we had Danny Cannell that was paid a pretty good contract to be the starting quarterback of the New York Giants. And everybody knows Danny from college football right now and what he did at Florida State. But the thing that was really hard is Danny was kind of the last one into work and the first one out. And the defense with Michael Strahan and the boys over there were doing a really good job. Jesse Armstead, Michael Barrow, these guys were playing lights in and light out every week. John Fox had these guys rolling. Offensively, we started sputtering, and a lot of it was put on Danny because Danny was having some similar issues just like we are right now with Brian Hoyer. So then it was stick with Danny because of the contract. And then Kent Graham came in. You know, Ohio State's Kent Graham, and Kent came in and gave us a little bit of a boost, but it was obvious that Kent wasn't going to be our future because of his age at that point. He'd already been around the league a few times. Then they went in and brought Kerry Collins in, who, you know, from Penn State, big gunslinger, statistically one of the top quarterbacks to play the NFL game. I mean, really has. He might not be a Hall of Famer.
People don't realize that, but you're
his
right.
His numbers are up there with the best of them. And they brought him in, and then that's when we went to our Super Bowl in 2001. But the dissension, I mean, when you have to start answering, and, you know, I was talking about this with Matt earlier, when you have to start answering questions that you don't really want to answer because it's not your job. You don't make the decision who starts at quarterback, who plays at offensive line, who plays at defensive backfield. Your job's to go play football, but when you got to start answering those questions, Nathan, you're being distracted from what your job is, because it's not my job to answer. That's what Coach Pettine gets paid for. That's what Ray Farmer gets paid for. So you've got to be very, very I think it has to be nipped now, because guys are getting frustrated with having to answer this question. So that's the dissension. It's a poison. It's a poison, and I think that's why these guys have got to get the remedy right now. They've got to get the remedy, and they've got to feed it to everybody, and we've got to move on and give ourselves a shot the last three games.
Is three games, how much of an evaluation can you make of Johnny Manziel as an NFL quarterback prospect over the course of three games?
I think it's three great games for us to evaluate against two division opponents, you know, two top teams in our division. You know, of course, we're in the bottom now looking up at everybody in the division. But I believe the Cincinnati Bengals, a team that Brian Hoyer has played, you know, is 2-0 against and has played well in two football games. A great way to evaluate one guy versus another against the same opponent, this one being at home, but then going on the road. And I think Johnny Manziel being in with, and again, at that point, you bring in his off the field stuff into a conversation because it's easy to play at home. You're comfortable. Everyone's in your favor. How are you going to take being a starter on the road? Are you going to carry yourself as a starter? Are you going to functional that week, which is different when you travel and going into a new city? And for Johnny, it's going to be getting off the bus and having your Browns people supporting you, but also, too, in this case, Carolina and Baltimore people screaming at you, talking down at you, or walking into a stadium as the starter and getting, you know, everyone in purple and black, or, you know, in baby blue and black and silver, doing the money signs, making fun of you. How are you going to be able to go out and function and play and build that resume in 3 weeks to prove yourself as the guy for this job?
There's another side of this thing, too, is there's a good chance Brian Hoyer will not be here next year. And we've only got one other quarterback on the roster, which is Johnny Manziel. So they're going to find out. Johnny's going to be thrown into the fire here at some point. We're going to find out the caliber of quarterback, because if Johnny's not going to cut it, they have to go get another quarterback regardless. So I think the evaluation process from what time
is
you show up.
Is 3 games fair and a fair?
You're going to see a lot. And listen, if the magic's there and Johnny's leading the ball down the field.
You just need to see the highs.
Then you're going to see him.
Yes.
You know, listen, I think Johnny's worst could probably be what Brian's doing right now. So that's why, you know, and again, I just think it boils down to you have got to move the ball. And if he can do that, and then we start to put some pieces around him and guys start to buy in, the whole attitude alone, an attitude change can change a whole outcome.
All right, so real quickly, because we're going to get a lot of callers, people are already blowing up, 216-578-0850. In your mind, foregone conclusion, Johnny should be the starter.
Yes.
100%.
100%. There it goes. Two former NFL players, Joe Gervicius, Matt Wilhelm, weighing in there on the quarterback situation for the Cleveland Browns. When we come back, we're going to break down this game. Very disappointing loss for the Browns as they fall 25-24 at home. More mistakes and a tarnish what was a great defensive performance. You want to hear from you, 216-578-0850, our Ohio Business Machines hot topics of the day. Obviously, would you name a quarterback for Sunday? Would you do it today? If you're Mike Pettine, what do you say to the team? How do you rally for the final three games? Sounds like it could be as easy as making a switch, saying this is, we're changing things up. Everybody's got to be accountable. Let's go. And would you hand out any game balls? Who gets them? And would you give any to anyone on the offense? The Browns Roundtable presented by Blue Point will be featuring Jim Donovan at 1:45. We're going to hear sound bites from the locker room, from postgame, from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, from the quarterback, and as well as Dante Whitner and Joe Hayden. A lot of emotion coming out of that locker room yesterday. It was a very tough one for the Browns as they fall to the Colts and are now 7-6 on the season, 12th in the AFC, because there are 12 teams at 7-6 or better, and the Browns do not have any of the tiebreakers right now over any of them, which is why it will take a division win to get into the playoffs. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Joe Gervicius with you till 3 o'clock here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Girl, when you want it, you know that I'm on it. You know that I love loving upon you.